Wild Air today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
The Irish Refugee Council is welcoming proposed provisions to support all those 30-plus thousand people fleeing Ukraine to access third-level education and indeed other support systems in the country. But it's calling on the government to ensure what it calls equal support and access for all refugees and people seeking protection. Its CEO is Nick Henderson. Good morning, Nick. Thank you for joining us on Kildare Today this morning. Now, let me put that question to you because it's a very loaded statement in terms of what it might be suggesting. Are you suggesting that there is a diversity of treatment in regards to the way refugees are treated depending on where they come from, or dare I say the colour of their skin?
Yeah, I would say it would be the former. It's our concern is that there would be differing treatment depending on where somebody comes from. So I think there's two examples of this. First is the Irish Times, for example, reported in mid-May that the Department of Further and Higher Education were considering allowing Ukrainian people and refugees from Ukraine to study in Ireland and have access to things like the SUSE scheme, free fees initiative, and waiving the need for 3 years of residency and for them to be considered European Union students as opposed to international students, and there's a differing amount in fees. And then also, yet on Monday, the RTE with Emma O'Kelly reported on differing treatment for school children, and that English language supports were given to Ukrainian children, but not other kids from other countries. So it's really to flag those two examples of concern. We welcome everything that the state is doing to try to support Ukrainian refugees, but our crucial and really important call is that everything that is done for everybody who's seeking protection and refuge, particularly in relation to children. You know, we have to cherish all the children equally.
Well, I think there are two aspects to this question, and one is whether the government has differing protocols or parameters in terms of it applying its emergency provisions for refugees coming in. But I also think on the other side of the coin, I wonder about wider society, Nick, in terms of, is it ingrained in our society, even subliminally or subconsciously, that we would reflect different attitudes in the way we welcome refugees to this country based on colour, based on country of origin?
I think there's no doubt that racism exists in Ireland. I think we've spoken about this before. There's plenty of surveys and studies and reports of racism, and I think that includes a perception that some people, not all, and it would be hard to put a figure on it, but some people would prefer to welcome refugees who are from a place that is close to Europe, who maybe look the same as themselves, and would feel more affinity to them than people from other parts of the world. All that being said, though, you know, I do think the Irish people have stood up for Ukrainian refugees, but also particularly local communities have stood up for people from other parts of the world.
Yeah, but isn't there also that inference that people sometimes make, and I'm saying this, you know where I'm coming from, that in terms of people arriving from Ukraine, we recognise the emergency situation they're in, they're fleeing war. We don't necessarily take that explanation so readily in regards to people from other countries, whether it be Syria, Afghanistan or whatever, based on colour, because introduced into the debate is they're economic migrants, not political migrants.
Yeah, well, we've heard that, not necessarily for Syrian and Afghan people, you know.
But people from Africa.
Yeah, but let's also be aware that there's huge instability in several African countries, and that to be a refugee, you have to show that you fear persecution on account of one of five reasons, and they're often very individual reasons. It can be things like race and nationality, which can be quite wholesale, but it's also around things like political opinion. So if somebody is political or perceived to be political, they may be targeted by their government or by the police force or another actor within their country. So just because you're fleeing, this is really important as well, just because you're not fleeing a war or a civil war, that doesn't mean that you are not a refugee. We'll turn that on its head. You can be a refugee for individual reasons, for example, fleeing individual persecution on account of your political beliefs, for example.
Or indeed your sexual orientation or whatever, or gender,
exactly.
and all of that as well. Let me go back to the institutional side of it and Ireland's treatment of people coming from Ukraine as opposed to the perceived treatment of refugees from other jurisdictions. And you'll be familiar with the story where a Dublin school principal, the principal of St. James Primary School in Dublin, he had applied, he had agreed to take on 23 extra children of diverse nationalities from direct provision into his school. He applied to the department for 3 extra teachers to help with English language instruction. He was refused, but only when he went to national media and highlighted it, suddenly a phone call is received and he's granted the 3 extra teachers. You have, in the Irish Refugee Council, have issued a document specifically in regards to education, and you say, while we welcome the proposed additional supports to facilitate students from Ukraine in accessing third level education, but I'm sure you apply to across the various sectors, these measures should be extended to all refugees and people seeking protection. So, I mean, is there evidence that there are different standards, different parameters being applied?
Well, there's the evidence that you've just given, and, you know, it's great that that school has now received the support that they need. And I would hope, and I think it's worth giving people the benefit of the doubt, that was an administrative decision, and supports were drawn down for Ukrainian refugees, but not for others. But that being said, let's make sure it doesn't happen again. And ensure sort of in administrative processes recognise that.
And could I ask you for a reaction then to Aegon O'Riordan, the Labour's education spokesperson, who was quoted in the Irish Times yesterday of saying, Ireland's support for Ukrainians fleeing the Russian invasion has exposed what he calls uncomfortable official prejudice towards what he calls white Christian children. He said that it's demonstrably true that a split has emerged in how the state treats children from Ukraine in opposed to the way it treats refugee children who are neither white nor Christian. He was speaking before an Oireachtas committee on that, and he said, I wouldn't want it to be said of the Irish system that we have one attitude for, let's be blunt, white Christians on the edge of Europe, and a different attitude for those who are not white Christians and not from the edge of Europe. That is an uncomfortable sentence to have to utter, but if that is the underlying suspicion within the Irish education system and amongst practitioners, then it is a very troubling one, he said.
Yeah, and I was in the committee room when he said that, and he was, I suppose, partially responding to what I was saying around ensuring equitable access and equal access. And I think, like, it's hard to labour this enough, you know, particularly for children. It just is not acceptable for kids of one background not to be receiving support, but the kids of another background to be receiving them, and on the basis of their background, their status, or otherwise. It is troubling, and that's why I think it's important to have here committee hearings like yesterday's put this stuff out there into the open, to discuss it, to have the input of politicians. But I think it's something that we have to be really careful for. And it also applies to further and higher education as well. As an organisation, we've been calling for several years, more than 5 years, for changes in the higher and further education system, particularly for protection applicants. And changes have been made. There's been some good progress that has been created, led by the state. But when we saw the proposals flagged by the Irish Times in mid-May by Simon Harris that Ukrainian refugees would be given access to these supports, that for us was almost a red line, because we were saying, no, this is something we've campaigned for everybody for several years. It's not fair, it's not equitable, and let's level up everybody if possible, as opposed to just bringing some people forward.
Indeed. I have a little exercise for everybody, those tens of thousands of people who are listening to us throughout Kildare and indeed the surrounding counties. I just want you just to pause for 20 seconds, everybody, and picture a Ukrainian and picture a person of African origin, or indeed Afghan or Syrian, standing in a line. And ask yourself, is your perception and your attitude to each of those different, either on a conscious or even, more importantly, on a subconscious level? Because that is the suggestion now, that it is far easier for people of a certain genus, white, European, to access supports in this country when fleeing persecution than it is from people who might be of colour or of an ethnic origin that we don't particularly share. Ask yourself honestly that question when in your mind you picture 3-4 of those people in front of you. Would you apply different standards or different judgments to each of us? And that, I think, is something that would be useful for us all to do on a reasonably regular basis. But on that wide topic then, as to whether the government is adopting different standards in regards to those people fleeing Ukraine, in particular children, and access to education, as opposed to what is applicable to those other nationalities we've spoken about. Nick Henderson, CEO of the Irish Refugee Council. Thank you for your time, Nick.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. Nick Henderson, CEO of the Irish Refugee Council. Up next, we're going to be hearing about a woman who's at her wit's end because she has to keep catching rats in her home.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Okay, I'll get to your messages shortly, but we're running tight for time, so let's go to Owen.
Yeah, joining me on the line now is Mary Morris. She's a listener in Killinagh. Morning, Mary. Your daughter is living in Derrinturn, and I was talking to you yesterday off air. She's at her wit's end. Why is that?
Because we're catching baby rats in her house at the moment. She's out of her house 2 weeks at this stage, and we thought we were catching mice. Hmm. And I'm the one that has to go in and take them out of the trap and deal with it. She won't go near the place. And at Christmas, she caught 20-something mice. And we let her go.
20-something?
Yes, in her house, yes.
That's yes. A serious number.
Yes. Now, there could have been baby rats too. We don't know. We took them for mice. We're like, I'm oblivious. I wouldn't have a clue, a mouse or a rat. So we started taking photographs the other night and showing them to people. And they said, they're not mice, they're rats, baby rats.
This is a council estate. Yes. And have you been on to Kildare County Council? What are they doing about it?
We have. They're doing nothing about it. She spoke to a lovely girl after a week, telling her the mailbox was full. And she spoke to a lovely girl on Monday, and she said she'd put in a complaint. She rang a chap yesterday, which wasn't as nice. He told her it was nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with the likes of that, was to do with herself, which, as she said herself, they couldn't be to do with me because they're not getting in. You know, I don't know how they're getting into my house. The house is clean. She doesn't know where they're coming from. And I actually went down after speaking to you, Owen, yesterday, and caught another one. But, like, I'm her mother. I'm 67 years of age. I'm a diabetic. She has Crohn's disease, and she is injecting herself. And we're very much afraid of disease.
And, well, I suppose, look, if this is a council house, she's paying rent, isn't she? So, ultimately, the responsibility here falls with Kildare County Council if there's an environmental issue, which, if you're catching between 20 and 30 rats over the last number of months, that would be something. Has anyone even come out and checked it?
No, nobody. Like, we turned to you for help. She rang Kildare, the HSE, the environmental, and they said to get back to them in a week if there's nothing done. Not getting anywhere. We don't know where to turn.
And at this stage, she can't live in the house?
No. She wouldn't go inside the door. I'm the one that has to go in. And at that, I'm afraid of my life at the moment. Well, she was up with me for 6 weeks at Christmas. And her two boys are back with their daddy. And she's up with me for 6 weeks at Christmas. And she still kept paying her rent. She's heading into her third week with me now at the moment. Between me and friends.
Yeah. Now, I won't mention the name of the estate, Mary, but what about other residents here? Have you talked amongst yourselves to see whether or not it's a problem within the estate?
Yes, I'm sure it is. Yes.
Wow.
Owen, have we got on to Kildare County Council about that?
Yeah, I sent an email to Kildare County Council yesterday evening, but I haven't heard a response back from them. But we'll get on to them again today, Mary, because that's, I mean, that is unacceptable.
And you know, Mary, I don't want to frighten you or anything, but rats would be more long-tailed than mice.
Oh, so. Very much so. I start taking photographs now. Very, very long-tailed, yes.
Yeah, I think you have a big rats problem as well. How many houses on the estate?
Well, there's, eight or nine
houses. So
it's on the one row now, but the estate is bigger, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Where it is?
7, 8.
Yeah, you're up around Derrin Turin, and it's a it's a social authority. It's a council house, Owen, isn't it?
It is. It's a council estate, as far as I'm aware. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And do you know if anybody else has the problem?
I think so, but don't talk about. We don't ask questions. You know what I mean?
Right. It's kind of not something you come out at breakfast and say, "Hey, Johnny, how many rats did you catch today?"
Exactly, yes.
Right,
but
so...
Mary, I've heard of this before, and, you know, when you first catch a rat, it's kind of embarrassing, right? Oh, I can't believe we're after getting a rat in the house. But when you start catching 20 or 30, all that goes out the window. You don't care.
No, she's crying and everything. She's traumatised and needs a good clean-up round the place. The hogweed's growing in over her wall and trees and everything.
It sounds to me, Mary, like you have rats' nests when you have so many proliferation. Have any councillors been in touch with you, or have you been in touch with any councillors?
Yes, she went to see TD the other night, and she rang one yesterday and left a message, and he was get back to her and just didn't.
So, Owen,
I'm sure he will.
Well, we'll get on to the council, we'll get on to the local councillors and see what can be done, because, as I said, this is the responsibility of Kildare County Council if it's a social authority home, which you say it is. But your daughter has been out of the home for the last 3 weeks, and the most important thing is to get this sorted and to get her back into her house. She has children as well, as far as I know. So leave it with us, Mary. We'll follow up on it, and we'll be sure to get something done on this.
Lovely. Thank you very much for your help, Owen.
All right. Thanks, Mary.
Quite horrific, I have to say, in regards to one rat would be bad enough, but if you're catching up to 20 of them, whether they be babies or otherwise, it doesn't make a difference. So we will follow up on that. Thanks, Owen. Paul Roberts is founder and head coach of Clane Boxing Club. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning to you guys, and how are you?
We're not too bad at all. Paul, the future of your club is in jeopardy, as you currently have no premises, and you've been quoted by up to €2,600 a month for rent. Give me a little brief background of Clane Boxing Club.
Clane Boxing Club started about 9 years ago in Clane. I built the club up in Clane from working in the industrial unit and then moving into the GAA, then moving into the Abbey, and then we moved into an industrial unit about 4 or 5 years ago. Obviously paying rent on that, which was about just over €1,000 a month. So it was like having a second mortgage over your head, working with the kids and also paying the rent for the boxing facilities there as well.
And just to ask you, why was there changes of premises on a what would seem fairly regular basis over the preceding years? Was it due to just no longer suitable or having to pay too much in rent?
No, the other regards was obviously we needed equipment. Obviously, we were outgrowing the premises and stuff like that. But the other premises that we had in Clane, that was an industrial unit, we were kind of outgrowing it. We had booking lists, a waiting list for people that wanted to join the club, obviously, to come in. And then what happened is obviously COVID came in and obviously we couldn't train. Boxing was the last sport to actually go back and actually do training because it was a contact sport and it was an indoor sport. So obviously we couldn't afford to keep paying the rent because we were 18 months without allowed to train, if you know what I mean.
Indeed, so you would have had to give up the premises. How many members have you in the club?
Oh, a lot. As I said, we had up to 30 kids in the kid class, about 15 to 20 teenagers, like every night sort of thing. Training, and we had about 15 to 20 adults as well, and we had kids in wheelchairs, special need kids, we had everyone. Everyone was invited in, come in and train and do a little bit and enjoy just having a good night training and a bit of a laugh at all the lads.
Do you get any funding from the Irish Amateur Boxing Association?
No, we got a grant there for equipment, but the equipment that we got is going into storage unit, which we're paying at the moment. So
right. So what is funding your club while it operates, aside from even and you know the enormous costs of renting and everything else? How do you pay that?
We were paying it. I had to put all the classes on and stuff like that to pay the rent. So that's how we afforded to pay the rent. There was no sort of building that around that we could afford. So the cheapest building we had was €1,000. And the only way that you could afford that was putting on so many training sessions. And that was the only way that we could afford it.
And now you're being quoted up to $2,600 a month.
Yeah.
To and rent, even more. To rent what?
There's a premises there in Clane. Well, there's a lot of premises there in Clane. They quoted me up to $2,600. There's premises there that have been empty for over 15 years. There's an old sports club there that's kind of derelict. I'm not sitting there doing nothing. Obviously, we can't afford those rents.
Obviously, you know what I mean? Not. And in fairness to you and all other sports clubs, you're making an enormous contribution to local society in engaging young people and adults and those with special needs and everything else, and keeping children and adults occupied in tough, tough times. So
yeah,
what?
Achieving.
Pardon me?
And achieving, winning titles.
And winning titles, yes.
Going to Europe.
And we've had this issue in the past with St. Bridget's Boxing Club in Kildare Town, which has supplied European champions in that. St. Michael's Boxing Club in Athy, wonderful club that has provided Olympians and multiple European and Irish champions as well. So all these clubs providing great facilities. So the appeal there, folks, is Clane Boxing Club is looking for a premises at the moment. If anybody can help with that,